In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called, ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We take the insert for the second Sunday at Easter and chant the intro.
Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated. The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 5. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill him. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Judas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please turn in the front of your hymnals to Psalm 148, which chant responsibly by Holbergs.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights.
Creeping things and flying birds.
and all rulers of the earth. Majesty is above earth and heaven.
Hear us, grace of the Lord, for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel, glory to him, praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and
Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing the hymn of the day, number 470. You may be seated.
Christ. Amen. We are blessed in believing. We're in the middle of the 50 days of Easter. Those of you who know the church here, which is I'm sure most of you, know that the world thought Easter was last week. But we know Easter Sunday was the beginning of the Easter season, which is 50 days long. And what I love about this time of the year is we are following the exact chronology in the New Testament of the life of Jesus. Jesus was raised on a Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, and for 40 days he gave convincing proofs that he was raised. And on a Thursday, after the 40 days, he ascended into heaven. He told them to wait in Jerusalem, and 10 days later on a Sunday at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down upon the church. We're now right at the very beginning of these 50 days, and we will look at various evidences and appearances of Jesus' risen body as we are this morning. And the point of this today is that we are blessed by God by believing. Thomas could see with his eyes. We see with the eyes of faith. God gives you this great blessing of faith, so that you believe in someone you do not yet see with your eyes, but you will see Jesus when he comes again in glory. We are blessed during the 50 days of Easter in believing truly that Christ is risen. So this morning we will briefly consider, first of all, what was it like for Thomas and the apostles to believe when they saw? Then we will talk about what does it mean for Christians today to believe and we do not yet see. And then, if Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, we too will be raised from the dead. So let's begin with, we believe and see, say Thomas and the apostles. We will look at the evidence, the office of the keys, and then a creed. First, the evidence. Thomas and the apostles believed because they saw. You just heard the gospel lesson. They were behind locked doors on Easter Sunday. Jesus suddenly appeared. Jesus' body was glorified. It was a real body. He could even eat a piece of fish, but he could appear and disappear. Jesus came, stood, and said to them, "His body is truly risen," showing them his hands and his side and his feet. Peace be with you. He gave them the evidence that he was raised. Thomas, for some reason, wasn't there on Easter Sunday. He absented himself, but now, a week later, he's with them. Thomas now is in the room, and Jesus appears again and says, "Peace be with you." And now he gives Thomas the evidence that he asked for. "Place your hand, place your finger, the marks of the nails in my hand, see the side, and see the mark in my side from the spear. Touch the marks here and here. See my hands, my side, my feet. Stop doubting. Believe." He gave Thomas the evidence. The resurrection of Christ, the eyewitness testimony of Christ, would stand up in the courtroom. There are at least 11 different appearances of Jesus in his resurrected state, one time to 500 people. They had seen him crucified. The Romans declared him dead, Pontius Pilate and the Romans. He was buried, and on the third day, his body came back to life, and eyewitnesses saw him. We believe the resurrection because it's true. Their eyewitness testimony recorded in the scripture, even times that they doubted, record that Christ on the third day was raised and appeared for a period of 40 days. Thomas and the apostles believed. They saw, they touched the risen body of Jesus Christ, and we accept their eyewitness testimony under the power of the Holy Spirit, the evidence. Then Jesus gives us the office of the keys. "Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you withhold, they are withheld." Here in the upper room, he breathes on them and says, "Peace be with you." Peace in the Bible is we are at peace with God through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're at peace inside of ourselves, and we're at peace with other people. Peace I give to you. And you see the chain. The Father sent the Son, who now sends the Holy Spirit, who came upon the apostles to write the New Testament, and now the Holy Spirit is given to His church. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, in the Catechism, we call this the office of the keys. When I teach this with the children, I hold my keys up that I have for the doors around here. Preaching, teaching, baptism, absolution, Holy Communion. These are the keys that open the kingdom of heaven. When a person refuses to believe, refuses to repent, their sins are like a ball and chain connected to their ankle, and they're dragging it around everywhere. And if they will not repent and will not believe in Jesus Christ, their sins are not forgiven. They have turned their back on Christ and His forgiveness. But when a person does repent, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. It's like the Lord takes a chisel and takes the chain off your ankle, and you are free. When the pastor for a congregation announces absolution, this is Jesus speaking through His voice, "I forgive your sins." Now, the office of the keys is given to the whole church. But then when a pastor in the office of the ministry publicly administers these keys and baptizes and teaches absolution and Holy Communion, Jesus is using the means of the word spoken by the pastor, spoken by Christians along with water, bread, and wine, and brings forgiveness tangibly into our lives. We thank the Lord for the evidence. We thank the Lord for the office of the keys that opens up heaven. We thank the Lord for the creed. Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." That is a creed. Credo in Latin means "I believe." Peter had a creed when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," at Caesarea Philippi. Thomas speaks a creed, "My Lord and my God." We speak the Apostles' Creed when someone is baptized. We speak the Nicene Creed in a moment at a Holy Communion service. And we speak the Athanasian Creed once a year on Trinity Sunday. You see, we are joining Thomas in the church of all the ages, confessing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the creeds. It's a powerful moment in the divine service when we speak the creed with the whole church on earth, joining Thomas and Peter and all the saints. The believing and seeing for Thomas and the apostles show us the evidence, the office of the keys, and the creed. Now, what about you and me? We Christians today believe, but we've not yet seen. Jesus says, "You believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's you and me. So what does it mean to believe even though we have not yet seen? Now, we do believe. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we believe that Christ is risen from the dead. We accept the eyewitness testimony. We proclaim this to all the world, the Christian church, that we believe in Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead. We are blessed in that confession. Not everyone confesses that. Our God and Father, in His great mercy, who brought our Lord Jesus Christ and gives us a living hope by the resurrection from the dead, has enabled you to believe that message, but your eyes do not yet see Jesus. This is not just theory, is it? Everyone in this room has had someone in your life, a Christian, who died and was buried. And you're looking at a hole in the ground and a dead body in a casket. At that moment, when we confess, "I believe in the resurrection of the dead," we are saying, as surely as Christ was raised, this body will be raised, and the blind will see, and the deaf will hear, and the lame will walk. We believe that we too will be raised. We are blessed in believing because we do not yet see. John says, and Peter says, though we have not seen Him yet, we love Him. We do not see Him yet, yet we believe in Him because we are born again and we rejoice with the joy that is inexpressible, filled with glory. You know, your non-Christian friends mock you. You believe in someone you've never seen with your eyes. You tell them that Jesus is coming back in glory and He hasn't yet. And your non-Christian friends think this whole thing is a joke. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in the resurrection. They mock the whole thing. But we believe in one we've not seen yet, because the proof of his resurrection has come to us. What have we obtained? What's the outcome of our faith? Salvation of our souls, a living hope through Jesus' resurrection, an inheritance, he says, that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, which is kept in heaven for you, guaranteed for you. Even though we go through fiery trials, our faith is going to be made more genuine, like purified gold, until the revelation of Christ on the last day. You see, we may not see him with the eyes of our head yet, but we see him with the eyes of faith. The Bible is read. You hear a sermon. You're touched with water and word. You receive Christ's body and blood with your mouth. And you hear the word of absolution. You see him through these means that he comes to us in these tangible ways. But then we will see him on the last day with our eyes. Rejoice that God has given you the gift of faith. You are blessed in believing, though you've not yet seen Jesus. You will. And then lastly, in the creeds, we do confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, risen from the dead. When we say Jesus is the Christ, that is, he's true man. Christ, Messiah, anointed one. When David was anointed to be king, they poured oil on his head. When Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit at his baptism, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, the Christ. Listen to him." He did that to fulfill all righteousness. Our sin placed upon Jesus, his righteousness placed upon us. His blood was shed, but he was risen from the dead. And in the presence of the disciples, he showed that he was alive. We confess Jesus is the Christ and true man, and believe that in his name, in holy baptism, we have life now and in eternity. You know, John says that there were many things Jesus did that are not written in this book. We'd like to know all the other miracles. We know some of them in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But these are written, he says, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We have what we need in the written scriptures to confess, as we're about to, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. We also confess that Jesus is the Son of God. That means he's true God along with the Father. Peter said that you killed Jesus by hanging him in the tree of the cross, but God raised him from the dead and exalted him and seated him at his right hand. Jesus is leader and Savior who sends the Holy Spirit so that we have faith to obey, being justified by grace and sanctified in the Holy Spirit. We fearlessly obey God rather than man and preach in the name of Jesus no matter what. Our Lord Jesus Christ is true God and true man. You cannot tear those apart. When he ascended to the right hand of God, he fills the whole universe with his presence. So he's able to give us here at the altar his body and blood, because his presence as true God and true man, one person, can give this gift to us, where he says, "Take and eat, this is my body, this is my blood." You see there the voice of Jesus, his body and blood, given to you. In our generation, we must be fearless like Peter and the apostles were. They were told to stop preaching, and they beat them up, and as soon as they're done beating them up, Peter and the apostles go back outside and begin to preach. The world cannot tell us to be quiet. We will proclaim the law and the gospel even if the world tries to silence us. We will obey God rather than man. We will confess the truth till our dying day, because we, like Peter and the apostles, must obey God rather than man. So in conclusion, as we're now at the beginning of the 50 days of Easter, rejoice that you have forgiveness. Rejoice that Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Rejoice that you have the evidence. Rejoice that we have the office of the keys. Rejoice that we can confess the creed. And that throughout the 50 days of Easter, we are blessed now and forever. We believe, though we do not see him yet, we will see him and we rejoice the inheritance that we have in heaven. God bless you with peace during these days. God enable us during the whole 50 days to be blessed in believing. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us now confess the faith. Page 158, the Nicene Creed. Please stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men,
as He comes to us in His body and blood with forgiveness and renewal. Grant us your Holy Spirit to heartily believe your word, and through the holy sacraments, establish our faith day by day until at last we obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
As we gather the offerings, please take a pad at the end of the pew, tear off a sheet to fill out, especially your name, and if you're commuting today, they can be placed in the basket in the narthex as we depart. We gather the offerings, you may be seated.
Sing offertory page 159. You stand to sing. mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the reverence of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Take over.
164, the Catholic Confession of the Lord, we stand to sing. And give you peace. Amen.